The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When John the Baptist heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. We all know, and in fact, I don't even think you can be sitting in the pew 10 days before Christmas and not feel that you are pulled. That we are pulled in this time of Advent between the sacred and profane, between our faith and our culture. And I can guarantee you, while I do not have the magic ability to see the thought bubbles above your heads, I know that some of you are sitting there going through your lists and your tasks and the don't forgets and the, oh, I hope I remembers, right? Like, it's just where we are. But I also, in looking at today's reading, I realize that being pulled in two opposite directions is a theme not only in our own lives, heightened during this Advent season, but it was also a theme with our forebears in the Bible. The Israelites that we hear in that great reading today, it's actually, they are hearing that they're going to be pulled back out of exile into Zion. And get this, after eons of enslavement in Babylon, they're kind of comfortable where they are. They know what life is there, and they aren't so sure that going back to Zion, to the promised land, is going to be that great. And God says, "It's okay. I will strengthen you, and you will be able to do this." And as we hear in our prayers of the people, and we'll hear next week, I always turn to the Magnificat in Advent. And you hear of Mary, who is her whole life changes in an instant to bear the Christ child. And you will hear in the Magnificat that she's pulled between being this lowly servant, and then she's also the most blessed mother. They're kind of antithetical to one another in some ways. And then we get to the gospel. Poor John the Baptist. You know, he has spent his life proclaiming and foretelling the coming of the Messiah, and now he's in jail. His life is about to end. And you can hear almost within his own mind his being pulled between Jesus is the one for whom he foretold, and wondering, Is my life a sham and did I make a mistake? Because Jesus isn't doing this Messiah thing the way I thought he would. And so we're familiar with this feeling of two sides, of wanting things to be able to go in more than one direction. Maybe right now you're feeling pulled into joy and happiness when you just really want to sit with some sorrow or grief. Maybe you're being pulled by what others think you should do versus what you really want to do. Or maybe you're pulled between work and family. Or for most of our families today, you're pulled between family and pageant. Isn't it cool they come together in one, 5 o'clock tonight? Or maybe you're pulled between two different sides of your family and they both want something from you and someone's going to have to give. I'd say that this sensation of negotiating back and forth is familiar. So while the Israelites and Mary and John the Baptist all have common threads, it's really John who snagged my attention this week. You see, John doesn't expect a Messiah to be hanging out with the underdogs, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the unclean, the unholy. And what is he doing running around teaching and healing people? That's not the Messiah he expected. John wants the Messiah to be all powerful, great in his deeds and works, overthrowing the Romans, bringing justice and restoration to the oppressed Jews in Jerusalem. He wants the Messiah he expected, mighty and great. And so that is why, after all this time, he sends his own disciples, John does, to Jesus to say, "Are you really the one? Because you aren't doing this right." And Jesus replies to John's disciples, as Jesus is wont to do. You don't ever get a yes or no answer from Jesus, right? Jesus says, "Go and tell John what you hear and see." It's not the strong arm answer John is hoping for, right? But isn't true liberation, isn't true power reaching out and healing? Isn't true power offering hope and offering life, just as Jesus is doing? The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers cleansed, and so on. For you see, Jesus's mighty power is based in love. Jesus's wrath is based in giving and toppling power by bringing everyone along with him and leaving no one behind, making sure that all are part of God's love. But I think I like John today because how many times have you, again, can't read your thought bubbles, but I think you can get with me on this one. How many times have we as Christians found ourselves exactly where John the Baptist is today? Like, when your friends say to you, "Well, if God is real, then why doesn't God do blank," right? You've all had that question. Or my favorite, "If God is all powerful, why doesn't God stop world hunger, racism, social injustice, global warming, traffic on the 405? We all have our wish list. And even though we all have good, solid theological answers for those questions, and if you don't have them, come see your priest. We always send it to the new guy. So Stephen's first in line for those questions. But all of us have it, plus all the people who have gone through EFM. We know the answers to these. And yet there are times in our own faith when we are pulled in that exact direction. And our faith can get pulled towards doubt. Or maybe we just get worn down and we wish that God was all-powerful in the way we want God to be all-powerful rather than in the way that God does God's self through the loving humanity of Jesus. And so we find ourselves here in Advent, invited to ponder who we are waiting for. And what characteristics are you and I looking for in the Messiah's return? I mean, I admit it, I do, and maybe you share my secret dream of God being the kind of God who comes in and kicks some you-know-what and takes down names. I dream that the adorable, cute baby whose birth we will celebrate in the pageant tonight and then again in 10 days will grow up to become the wrathful God that John the Baptist was thinking of. So those others in our world who deserve God's wrath all get it the way they deserve. I can see the pull, the attraction, the ease, if you will, of a God who acts in such a way. But that's not the kind of God that Jesus teaches us about. It's not the kind of God that Jesus incarnates. Jesus brings to us a God whose way is love. And we learn through him that love is much more powerful than might. Jesus' way of love pulls us away from what the world tells us is important, status and authority and wealth and more. And Jesus' love pulls us towards a God who says that real power is justice, is freedom and access for all people. It is peace and care and healing. All that Jesus is doing for us to see and hear. It is more than we can ask or imagine most days. And so as we are pulled this holiday season, I wonder if when we feel that tug, when we realize our minds spinning off in what needs to be done, that it can be a reminder for us to just stop and look around for the signs of Jesus. Look around for the signs of the coming of the Christ child and his love that he brings to our world. And maybe if we can even take it one more step further, that in those moments we can remember that you and I are being pulled to be agents of the signs that Jesus spoke of to John. In the midst not only of our holiday season, but quite frankly, in the 11 months that will follow, I pray that we will be pulled to help the sick, the struggling, the suffering, and that you and I, through expressing God's love and care, will be sources of comfort and peace and fulfillment. Jesus is the one who has come and is coming again, and you and I are not to wait for another. We are to be his hands and his voice and his followers so that others may see as we have seen. Amen.